When God calls us to do His will. And tonight I just want to reflect upon the disciples' call. You, myself, we are called to be Jesus' disciples. And today I'm going to reflect upon two passages. One from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 35 to 39. And from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. John chapter 1, verses 35 to 39 says, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.'" Then the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Again, Jesus calling his disciples, and this is another account. "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." Let us pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, as we read your word tonight, we pray that you could help us, Lord, to receive something new. Help us, Lord, to understand a little bit more about your calling upon our lives. So, Father, we pray that may your Holy Spirit come and minister us tonight, because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's not easy to harmonize the four Gospels with reference to the early ministry of Jesus. Most scholars, however, agree that Jesus had a short ministry in Judea before coming to Galilee for extended preaching tour. After his baptism, he comes and he calls disciples to follow him. And then in the book of John, we have this that he's calling his disciples, and then we have the first miracle in chapter 2, and then we have the encounter with Nicodemus in chapter 3, and then later we have him returning to Jerusalem, and after that he returns to Galilee through Samaria. And then Matthew, Mark, and Luke explain about the major ministry of Jesus. Now, Jesus, after his baptism, as I said before, he was calling disciples. And now we have Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathaniel. And later we found in Galilee, he called Peter and Andrew once more. Some people say, well, the first calling is called for salvation, but the second calling is for full-time ministry. Today, I just want to reflect about when Jesus called you and called me and called anyone to be his disciples. And the first thing when he called his disciples, as we read and we're going to be reading tonight, is that Christ calls us to receive him personally. That's the first thing. You know, and sometimes we have this question. Some friend says, "Can I really be a Christian if I am so easily tempted? I face temptation every day. Can I be Christian?" well, I don't know if I can be committed to the Church of Christ if I haven't this struggle in my mind, in my life. Well, I got good news for you. Jesus never asked anyone to get their act together before following him. Fix your past and then you will be okay. Jesus never asked that. We come to this church, we come to any church, and we are not perfect. Get a theological education before you follow Jesus. Get it right. No. Untangle the messes in your life? No. Jesus never called us to be like that. Jesus' call was always like this. Follow me. Come and see. These disciples, they were proud, they were overconfident, they were weak, they didn't understand, they were all that we are. And now, the Gospel of John is about the personhood of Jesus. Somebody says that if we read just the Gospel of John, we can be saved. Because from the very first chapter to the last, it's about who Jesus is. And this is the emphasis in this book of John that we just read at the beginning. Now, John seems to have not only one purpose, but of calling people for repentance. This is John the Baptist. Now, let's think about the first calling. In Judaism, the students have to seek for their teacher, their rabbi. They will be looking for a rabbi, and they just follow. Jesus is different. He comes seeking for his disciples. He comes calling for his disciples. And now here we have the account of John chapter 1 verse 29. This is John with his disciples, John the Baptist. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." After John's declaration, some of John's followers began to leave him and follow Jesus. Now, the disciple Andrew immediately recognized Jesus as the Messiah. He went and told his brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. The next day, Jesus found Philip and called Philip to himself. Philip found Nathanael, and an interesting conversation is happening here. Nathanael says in John chapter 1 verse 49, he says, "You are the Son of God, King of Israel." Jesus is uniquely related to the Father. He's the Son of the living God. Now, what's happening here? One by one, these men, they realize who Jesus is. And the first thing we need to know is that they have to believe in him as a person. The problem in our society is that too many people are trying to do the work of Jesus, but they don't know who Jesus is. Sometimes we feel that we are to do nice things, but we need to know who Jesus is. He is the Son of the living God. If I don't accept Jesus as the Son of God, I am not a disciple of Jesus. Because Jesus says, "I am the truth. I am the way. I am the only way to the Father." This is what Nathanael is saying. You are the Son of God. I have to recognize Jesus in my life as God. And I surrender my life to Jesus in order to serve him. And that is what happened with these disciples. So the first call, the first thing Jesus wants from us is that we realize who he is. The second thing is Christ's call to us is for dedication in service. Now, the scene changed. John is not there. John is in prison. And here we have a good lesson for ministry, ministerial ethics. Jesus will not start preaching until John the Baptist is not there. Mark chapter 1 verse 14 says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. Now, John has been forced into retirement and Jesus started seeking for leaders. A good leader tried to find another leader that will be able to carry on doing his work. And that's what Jesus is looking here. But he wants dedication and service. Now, we don't know what happened to Peter and Andrew when they found for the very first time Jesus in Judea until they were called for full-time service. And we presume that they carry on working in their business and perhaps they have spoken about Jesus. Probably they wonder if they will see him again. The seed has been sown. However, when Jesus called them, they were ready to respond without questions. This is true for us. Sometimes we could receive Jesus in our lives, and we struggle. We struggle. What to do next? What to do next? But we are to continue working in our lives. The second thing happening here is something amazing. When we read these verses, you know, Jesus is there preaching, and he says, follow me. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. The fact that the disciples immediately left their nets and followed Jesus indicates perhaps two things. The first, that he has a tremendous personal appeal. And he has, you know, that sense that, come on, follow me. But the second, perhaps, is that they're now ready to follow him because they have started to process in their lives. And now Jesus becomes important in their lives. Let's see what happened here. Jesus takes the first place. Let's read verse 20. And Jesus says, the Bible says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Verse 22, immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus had become more important. Their nets, their boats were their livelihood. Their father was the head of the family. Now Jesus is more important. Now the thing here is that some people said, I'm going to leave everything. I'm going to follow Jesus. And they stopped working. And they just follow Jesus. And we need to be careful. Because we are not them. Now, we need to be aware about this. Jesus calling is different for everyone. Now, we are not in their position. In fact, it will be wrong for us to leave our families and to resign from our jobs just like that. That's wrong. Jesus explains later in Matthew that we must not use following Jesus as an excuse to avoid caring for our families, working, and being responsible. The rest of the New Testament is clear that we need to work if we can so that we can provide for ourselves and have something left over. We need to bless other people. Now here, the point remains. Jesus has to be first. And now perhaps one of the things that Jesus wants us to do is to love our families and to work, being responsible, hard working at our jobs. But if it ever does clash, Jesus called us to be clear where our highest commitment is. And we are disciples. Let me try to explain this. Remember, Jesus wants us to be to know him personally. We are to work hard and be responsible, but the third thing is that each call is distinctive. In every encounter between God and people is individual. Peter was different to Matthew. Matthew was different to John, and etc. It was 1990. It was quite early, in 1995. I used to be in charge of my engineering room, and we used to have contractors. And there was an electronic engineer who used to come and work in my unit. Everyone knew that Edgar liked drinking a lot. He was a happy bunny. Party girls and very nice guy. And then he was coming, and one day he said, "Chief, can I have a word with you?" And I said, "Yes. I'm going to a church." "Oh, praise the Lord," said Edgar. "I feel judged. They judge me." I said, "What's happening?" "You know I like drinking. I can be Christian and can be, you know." "Okay, come to my church." I said, "Can we?" "Oh, okay, yeah." He said, "Chief, I really struggle with this." So he came to our church. We have a lot of young people, and he came. He said, "I really want to go to that church." Yeah. I said, "Edgar, go to the church and sit at the back." "Yeah, but when people see me, they smell alcohol, and they see me, you know, and go. Even the preacher seems like he's judging me. Go." After 6 months, I met him again. "Chief, I still going to church. I used to drink about 30 pints of beer or something like that. And when God, he was really. Now I have like a dozen." So I don't remember the exact numbers. "And I sit not at the back, I sit a little bit at the front." After 2 years, I was moved to the headquarters, and I heard a noise in the canteen. They were having a fun on Edgar. Edgar was trembling. He looks awful. "What's going on, Edgar?" I said, "Well, I'm still going to church. I don't sit at the back. I sit almost at the front, Chief. The minister will not marry me with my girlfriend because she's not a believer. And I am old, you know." Well, he was 40 years old. In those years, they say, if you were 40, you were... And he said, "I am old." I am telling the truth. And then he says, "But I know God is calling me. It was hard to let her go. She will not come to church. She thought I was stupid." And we prayed together, and he went. After 1 year, Edgar came back. "Chief!" This was Edgar. He said, "I am clean. I'm going to get married. I sit on the front of the church. I'm going to do mission. You know what, Chief? I have a job in Japan." "What? I had a job in Japan. I'm getting married with my beautiful girlfriend. She will be my wife. We have been, you know, we have been coming to church. And I'm going to serve the Lord in Japan." What I'm trying to tell you is this. Each call is distinctive. Each call is distinctive. But have you seen this building when they are building new, these massive buildings? How long does it take to do the foundation? It takes a lot to do it. And sometimes even you go 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. You know, in London they are doing so much building. And I used to say, you know, it takes a lot to do the foundation. That's when God is calling us, is hard. Edgar, it was hard for him. But Jesus is calling you to do something. But the moment we learned to surrender everything, it was hard for him. He was really crying. I really like to see that man crying when he said, I am losing my girlfriend. Chief, I am old. But that was why. And look, this guy, they were having fun on him. But he hold on to that. And he said, I feel judged in the church when the minister speak. But I not have to be there. When God calls us, he calls us continuously. We can reject the call, but we cannot ignore it. And then until that foundation, and have you seen those buildings when the foundation is finished? What happened? And all our buildings are different. Edgar's call is different to my call. Your call is different to Ian's call. Your call will be different to another call. But we need to, first of all, to surrender our lives completely to him, to say, you are the Son of God. The first call comes to everyone for the same purpose, for personal salvation. It's not just to be nice. Certainly, Edgar suffered a lot. But the second call may vary in the intent as well as in method. God is calling you today. He calls us every day to serve him. I don't know what is your call, but commitment to follow Jesus will always cost you something. It's not, I'm not here to make you feel bad, but it will always cost you something. For these guys, you know, Matthew and Peter, they lost their jobs. They left their net in order to devote themselves to Jesus. It may cost you a friend. It cost him Edgar, his girlfriend, his friends, because he was not just the party goer anymore. Family members may decide not to go with you. Notice that they left their father. Perhaps he didn't want to follow Jesus. Girlfriends may decide that it's not for them. Boyfriends may decide that you are going crazy. Husband or wife may never be at church with you. As long as there are people there in the world, lost people, Jesus is calling disciples. And the same Christ who called Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, and Philip is calling you today. He's calling me. It will cost us something to follow Jesus, and it will cost you. But my invitation, before we come to the Lord's table, let us never turn a deaf ear to the master call. He's calling you to do something. I don't know why, but he never called lazy people. My father used to say that God never called lazy people to serve him. He called people to accept him as the Son of the living God, to work hard, but to surrender our lives, and every single call is distinctive. What is your call? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you call us every day. It doesn't matter how young we are, how old we are, how well we are, how educated or not educated, or how troubled we are, you are calling us, Lord. Help us to surrender our lives completely to you. Help us to lay our lives to you. Just bring back our lives to you. Help us to be faithful, to continue working for you, even if we don't understand things happening in our lives. But on top of everything, Lord, help us never disobey your call. And help us not to be doubtful, but like the disciples, just giving you the first place in our lives. So, Father, thank you for the example of the disciples. And help us to follow you
all the days of our lives. Amen.